好，午安。大家好。
Good afternoon.
注意大家手上有这张纸啊。
You still have the handout from yesterday that has the text.
现在呢，我先请啊，我们念一遍的中文的，然后念一遍英文的。
Now, I first like to read the text in the Chinese first, and then it will be read in English.
请我们大家跟着念好不好？我们跟着念啊。
Please, follow along with your handout.
尔时，观世音菩萨即动坐起，顶礼佛桌，而拜佛言：“世尊，依我心。”无数恒河沙棘，亦是于佛出现于世，名观世音。我欲彼佛发菩提心，彼佛教我从文字修若三摩地。出于文中，如流妄所，所若即机，动静二相，了然不生。如是见真，闻所闻尽，尽闻不足，就所就空，空觉即缘，空所空灭，生灭即灭，即灭现前。忽然超越四处世间，十方圆明，或二殊胜，一得上合十方诸佛本妙觉心。一佛如来同一慈力，而在下合十方一切六道众生，与诸众生同一悲鸟。世尊，与我供养观音如来，蒙彼如来是我如幻文心文修金刚三昧，一佛如来从此力故，令我生成三十二应，入住国土。现在请念英文的念。
Now I'd like to read it in English, and please do also follow along. Thereupon, Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva rose from his seat, prostrated himself with his head at the feet of the Buddha and declared,I still remember that long before numbers of eons countless as the sand grains of the Ganges, a Buddha called Avalokiteshvara appeared in the world. When I was with him, I developed the Bodhi mind, and for my entry into Samadhi, I was instructed by him to practice meditation by means of the organ of hearing. At first,by directing the organ of hearing into the stream of meditation, both the stream and the subject which entered became quiescent. Both movement and stillness became clearly non-existent. Thus, advancing step by step, both hearing and its object ceased completely, but I did not stop where they ended. Not abiding in the awareness of this state,both the awareness and object awareness were emptied. Enlightenment became perfect, in which both creation and annihilation are extinguished, the state of nirvana manifested. Suddenly, I transcended both the worldly and that which is beyond the world, thereby realizing perfect illumination of wisdom, which pervades the 10 directions.Had acquired 2 unsurpassed merits. The first was in accord with the intrinsic, wondrous, profound, enlightened mind of all the Buddhas, high up in the 10 directions, and possessed the same merciful power as the Tathagata. The second was in sympathy with all living beings in the 6 realms of existence, here below in the 10 directions, and share with them the same clear-for compassion.Well honored one, as I followed and made offering to the Tathagata Avalokiteshvara, he taught me to use my illusory hearing and practice diamond Vajra Samadhi, which gave me the same power and mercy of all Buddhas, and enabled me to transform myself into 32 bodily forms for the purpose of visiting all countries in samsara to convert and liberate living beings.
看完了以后也可以不讲了。
I guess that after you have recited the text once, I don't really need to explain it anymore, right?
观世音菩萨是讲慈悲，慈悲呢一定是有智慧作为背景，否则的话就很大慈悲。 没有智慧的慈悲是害人的，那不叫做慈悲，那叫做烂好人。
Bodhisattva Avalokiteshvara is about compassion. However, true compassion must also involve wisdom. Without wisdom, the compassion one has is really not effective compassion. Without the guidance from wisdom, one may think that one's a good person, a nice person, a compassionate person, but really one is not being compassionate effectively.
有些人呢，虽然慈悲，但是自己很痛苦。告诉大家啊，如果让自己痛苦是没有智慧，如果让其他人 困扰和痛苦的人是没有慈悲，要让其他的人快乐不痛苦，而自己也要快乐不痛苦，这就是慈悲和智慧啊，并用啊，真正的慈悲。
Some people, they are very compassionate to other people, but they suffer a great deal themselves. Let me tell you this. Whenever one causes suffering in oneself, then there is no wisdom. Whenever one causes suffering and agony in other people, then there is no compassion. So it is only by bringing happiness and joy to oneself and others without causing oneself and others any pain and suffering that one truly has both compassion and wisdom at the same time.
我们复习一下，昨天我们讲观音菩萨有两种意思，第一是听声音，听其他人的声音，用信心听人的心声；第二叫观自在。当我们自己正在用观的方法的时候， 我们的心就会是自在。当我们心如果是很痛苦、很烦恼的时候，你用观的方法，你就会从痛苦而自在。哎，你们几个人晒太阳看到我很痛苦，来来来来，往这边来，这边有很多位置，来被晒太阳的人可以往这边。
Some of you sitting on that side, your eyes are looking into the sun, looking up. There's no need to do that. There are two seats over here. Please do go ahead and move.
You know,
But when you are sitting there enduring the suffering from being in the sun, having the sun in your eyes while you're listening to the lecture here, that means that I'm not compassionate for you and you don't have wisdom to take care of yourself. So please do go ahead and move. Yesterday,
two or three people, please move your seat.
Yesterday I talked about the two different interpretations or meaning of the name of Bodhisattva Avalokiteshvara. The first one has to do with hearing, hearing other people's sound. Hearing other people's sound, especially what they are really feeling inside their mind with one's own heart. And the other meaning of Bodhisattva Avalokiteshvara has to do with contemplating selfish ease. This refers to using the method of contemplation to remain mindful at the present moment. If one can do so, then one can also, one will always be at ease. And so whenever one encounters difficulty in a situation when vexations arise, what one needs to do is to go back to the method, go back to the method of contemplating the present moment. Then right away, one will be able to depart from the vexations and suffering that one is experiencing.
Now, 讲经文呢, 观音菩萨, 最初发了菩提心之后呢, 观音佛, 叫他修行, 修什么? 从文思修入三摩地, 文思修是什么意思? 三摩地是什么意思? 怎么修法?
Now I'd like to get to the text of the sutra here. The first paragraph here says that when Bodhisattva Avalokiteshvara encountered the Buddha, also named Avalokiteshvara, he gave rise to the Bodhi mind, and then the Buddha, Avalokiteshvara, gave him the instruction. Here in the English text refers to the instruction of practicing meditation by means of organ of hearing. In the Chinese text, it refers specifically to the practice of using hearing, understanding, and cultivating in order to enter samadhi. So what does this mean?
When 是用耳朵听 开始的时候是用耳朵听，耳朵听一定是听外面的声音，然后用心听，是听外面的人的心声之外呢，要听自己内在的自己的心声，自己的什么心，先听自己的烦恼。 然后再听自己的智慧和慈悲心，智慧和慈悲心怎么能听得到？那一定是听到没有烦恼的心，这个时候这个智慧和慈悲的自信就会出现。这个自信是什么呢？
Here, the method of hearing refers to hearing using the organ of the ear. And so when one first started, the hearing here refers to using one's ears to hear, to listen to the sound in the external environment. As one proceeds along the path, then one needs to start using the hearing to, using one's heart to try to listen to the sound in other people's minds, how other people are truly feeling. Not only that, one needs to start hearing the sound inside one's own mind, looking into hearing, listening to the feeling, the thought inside one's own heart. What would one be looking for there? One will be listening to the vexations that arise in one's own mind, as well as to the sound of compassion and wisdom in one's own mind. What will we hear when one is listening for compassion and wisdom in one's mind? When one does not hear the arising of vexations in one's mind, then in that moment, one is hearing the wisdom and compassion, the intrinsic nature of wisdom and compassion arising in one's own mind. What is the intrinsic nature of compassion and wisdom?
自信是什么？我们等一下会讲。我们先讲向外听。向外听，这个听什么？我给他给他一个四个层次的听法哦，请周远呢能写笔记的可以写一下。那这是我自己的另外一本小书啊，如果你们写不下来呢，这个小书还是蛮好用的。那这四个层次，那这个四个层次是怎么？第一个层次呢，是一心一意的来普遍的听一切的声音，不要选择对象，不要对对象来起分别心，就是让耳朵呢听声音，这个声音让它自己来，而不是用耳朵去想办法去找声音听，声音自然而来，什么声音都听，是普遍的平等的听一起的声音。
I address the question of what are the intrinsic nature of wisdom, compassion, later. First of all, I'd like to explain what it means by directing one's hearing outward. By directing one's hearing outward, there are really four different steps in this practice, and I encourage you to take note of what I was about to talk about. And the little book I'm holding here actually is offered by myself, and perhaps some of you may find it helpful as well. The first step of directing one's hearing outward refers to single-mindedly hearing all the sounds equally in one's environment. What it means is that in hearing the sounds in one's external environment, one is not chasing after the sounds outside of oneself. Rather, one just allows all the sounds from the environment to enter oneself, and one listens to all of them, treat them equally, without discriminating amongst them at all.
你的手上就是一份观音菩萨吗？这个，就是这份吗？好，在五十一，第五十一。当我们的心念很烦躁、很无奈、很痛苦的时候，请你们可以闭起眼睛来，好好的呀，轻轻松松的听声音，或者是当你们身体上不舒服，哪个地方不舒服，身体很不舒服，或者是有病有痛，这时候你要把眼睛闭起来，把身体放松了，你们就普遍的听声音，不要选择，不要分别，你听声音，你自然而然心情会缓和，你的身体的痛苦会减少，甚至根本不知道有痛苦。
So when you're experiencing a great deal of frustration, or when your mind is very agitated, suffering a great deal, what you can do in that moment is to relax yourself, relax your body, and allow yourself to take in all the sounds in the environment equally, without any discrimination. Similarly, if you're experiencing bodily discomfort, you're feeling very uncomfortable, or if you are feeling very sick, so you are having some kind of a physical discomfort, you can also apply the same method. Relax your body, relax your mind, close your eyes, and then just allow yourself to take in all the sounds in the environment without any discrimination whatsoever. You'll find that in that moment, right away the agony and agitation and suffering in your mind will disappear right away, and even the, and also the physical discomfort will go away as well.
在第二个层次，自己知道是在听声音，也有声音在被自己听，可是呢，没有了任何杂念，只知道有声音，只知道自己是在听声音，没有任何杂念。
The second level of this practice is that when that one is clearly aware of there is the self hearing all the sounds, and one is also aware of the existence of the object of one's hearing the sounds in the environment. But besides this this clear awareness, there is no scattered thoughts arising whatsoever. So there is only the awareness of oneself hearing the object in the environment, the sound.
第三个层次啊，这个声音，自己融入于声音，声音跟自己是没有分别。实际上这个时候没有想到自己还存在，只是晓得有声音。
The third level refers to the unification between oneself and the sound in the environment. At this point, there is no idea that there is a self that exists separately from the sound in the environment. One's only aware of the existence of sound.
第四个层次呢，声音和自己统统不存在，但是。 声音是还是在听到的，声音和自己通通不存在，没有觉得自己还有声音，或者自己还在听，但是自己很清楚。The
fourth level is when there's no longer the idea that there is a sound out there. There's no longer the idea that there is the self hearing the sound outside of oneself. But one clearly hears the sound in the environment. So one hears the sound very clearly, but without any idea that there's the self here listening to the sound.
然后呢，想自己想外听声音啊，然后想内听，想内听听什么？不是听心脏跳动，不是呢听自己啊，自己在跟自己对话，而是呢是听自己的心中啊。 所执着的东西究竟是什么？心中所执着的自我究竟是什么？
So this is directing one's hearing outward. How about directing one's hearing inward? What does it mean by directing one's hearing inward? It does not mean that to listen to one's heartbeat or the other sounds that are that are in one's body. What it refers to by hearing, directing one's hearing inward is to be aware, listen very closely to what one is attaching to. All the attachments in one's mind, one's hearing, one's paying attention to them.
This is your son to sing. 五声之声是什么？是声的自信。我们知道所有一切声音都是假象，而声音的它的自体究竟是什么？它的自信究竟是什么？那就是 空性。
So what it's hearing for is this soundless sound. And this soundless sound is actually the intrinsic or self-nature of sound. Because we know that all the sounds that we can hear, they are all illusory, impermanent phenomena. And it's only the self-nature of this sound that is not illusory. It's actually emptiness.
所以自信呢，向外听声音的自信，声音这是根本就是假的，是临时的，它并没有一定的自信。那我们自己自我的自信也跟声音的自信是相同的，跟声音的自信是相同的，也是假的，也是空的。
So we understand that the sound that we hear outside of oneself, they are all it's an illusory phenomenon, meaning that it's not permanent. It does not have its own independent inherent nature, separate of other things. And in fact, the self nature of ourselves has the same shape, the same nature as this sound, meaning that it is also illusory.Not permanent. It does not have an independent existence.
我们刚才讲的呀，四个层次向外，这四个层次是可以练习的。向内听，听自信是无从练习，没办法练的。那没办法练是不是等于没有用呢？有，我们等一下会讲。前面的四个层次向外听是可以练习的。但是听自信，向内听，听自信是没办法练习的。没办法练习怎么办呢？我们下边会讲。
So the four levels, the four steps in the practice of using the method of hearing, one certainly can practice in one's training in using these four steps in terms of practicing the method of hearing in directing one's hearing outward.However, if one would like to direct the hearing inward to hear one's self-nature, one will find it very difficult to apply these four steps to do so.
我现在请问一下，刚才我讲的四个层次，向外听声音四个层次，第一个有没有听懂啊？
I'd like to ask you earlier when I talk about the four levels, the four steps of using a method of hearing by directing hearing outward.Could you understand the first step?
虽然是四个，但是第一个最重要。第一个会了的时候，下面的三个，你练习练习，自然而然会进入第四个。
Even though there are four steps, the first step is actually the most important. If one truly understands the first step and practices accordingly,then the following three steps will come automatically and naturally afterwards.
好，不管你们记得不记得，现在我还要往下讲，这边几个名词啊，文思修三摩地是什么意思？
So I trust that you remember and understand the first step. I'd like to move on to explain some of the terminologies that Jen mentioned here.What's the meaning of hearing, understanding, and cultivating, as well as samadhi?
闻是方法，我们刚才讲的啊，向内闻、向外闻的方法。思是啊，确定自己的方法，自己会用了没有？确定自己是不是在用方法？修呢，就是已经实践了，已经知道是在用方法，是在不断的已经在用方法叫修。闻是知道用方法，这个方法啊，闻就是方法。通常的人解释闻的时候，叫他听经、听法、听佛法叫做闻， 错的，玩实际上是方法，而思呢是确定一下你的晓得不晓得的方法路线是什么，修呢已经确定了以后我照着去做了，就是踏踏实实的照着去做了，照着去练习了，这叫闻思修。
The first hearing, the meaning of hearing actually refers to the method of hearing I just talked about, with the four steps. So that's hearing, that's meaning of hearing. The meaning of understanding, here, the understanding refers to discerning whether one truly understands the method of practice, to figure out clearly that which method one is going to use for one's practice. And to discern whether one is actually applying the method of practice. So that's the main meaning of understanding. Third, that is cultivating. Cultivating refers to the stage when one's actually using the method, that one is, if one is using, applying the method of practice in one's life at all times, and that is the stage of cultivating. So a lot of time when people talk about hearing, they thought it means listening to Dharma talks, lectures, listening to explanation or master's expounding on meaning of sutras. Actually, that's an incorrect understanding of this term. Hearing here refers to refers to the method of hearing, directing one's hearing outward. So, and understanding refers to making sure that one understands the method of practice, and discerning that one is actually applying the method of practice. And cultivating refers to actually putting into practice the method of practice at all times in one's daily life.
我有一个出家的比丘弟子，他到泰国去学法。他去亲近了好多位泰国的大师，他听来听去都是这个方法上是用不上，没办法用。后来呢，他自己下功夫，就把他听到介绍的方法，他自己揣摩着去用，揣摩着去用。这个用到最后呢，觉得啊，我知道这个方法是这个样子的。但这些老师们他都不会教的，这是告诉我有这个方法，但是呢，没有教我怎么用。有这个方法，他没有教怎么用，就他自己呢，揣摩着，他知道会用了。这个是第一，老师教他的什么？就是方法是个文，但是呢，今天是文不行的，他是要经过他自己去思考、揣摩，然后结果他会了。会了以后，他花了三年的时间，就是学会了。会了以后，他要准备去好好的修行的，那就是修了他的方法了。
I have a disciple, a monastic disciple, Bhikshu. This month he went to Thailand to study with many Buddhist masters in Thailand for a period of time. And so when he was in Thailand, he visited many great masters there in Thailand and studied with them, tried to learn the method of practice from them. And what he found was after visiting these masters, he felt that he couldn't figure out how to use these methods that were taught by these great masters that he visited. And what he did was he started trying to figure out how to use the methods himself. So he spent quite a bit of time investigating, figuring out, trying to solve the problem of how to use the method. And finally he figured it out. Oh, this is how to use the method. This is what the method is about. So he saw that actually this monk went through the three stages. when he was visiting various great masters in Thailand, hearing the teaching of the method, that's the stage of hearing to learn about the methods of practice. When he realized that, well, these masters, they only mentioned about the method, but they didn't really teach me how to use the method exactly. He started picking it up on himself and figure out how to use the method by a ceaseless investigation. And that's the stage of understanding to figure out how to use the method. And then after 3 years, he finally got the method down, figured out completely, and was able to put it in practice in his life. That's the stage of calculating.
请你们也不要担心，哇，三年了，他花了三年，那我们是不是要花30年啊？你们要花多少时间呢？这是看到你们自己愿意用的，简单的方法和一听就会，马上就用，深入的方法，也就是开悟的方法，那的确是要时间。
Some of you might get quite worried upon hearing this story that, wow, if this monk had to take 3 years to understand the method and put it in practice, would it mean that I would need to spend 30 years to get to know the method? I don't think you don't need to worry so much about it. If you listen closely to teachings on especially very simple, straightforward methods, You'll find that you'll be able to put it to use quite easily and quite quickly and reap the benefits from the use of the method. If one wants to cultivate the method of enlightenment, then it will indeed take a little bit more time.
那下面是三摩地，也就是说从修行方法 而得到的结果，它的结果名字叫三摩地。这三摩地呢，也有层次的。第一个层次是定，定的意思是什么？心念暂时的不动，暂时的心念呢没有烦恼，没有念头，没有杂念的，就是定。这是第一个层次啊。 那第二个层次呢，有了定智慧之后，他自己有智慧出现了，定慧等持。智慧是什么？智慧呢，分成两类，一类是有漏的智慧，一类是无漏的智慧。有漏的智慧就比较聪明，无漏的智慧就是没有烦恼了。
Now I'd like to explain the meaning of samadhi. Samadhi actually is the name of or the result of the practicing of the cultivation of these three steps that I just talked about. So the result of practicing hearing, understanding, and cultivating is that of samadhi. And samadhi also has several levels. The first level refers to the mind temporarily being still, completely still, completely motionless. What it refers to is that in this temporary moment of samadhi, the mind does not, there's no scattered thought arising in the mind whatsoever during this period of time. So that's the first level of samadhi. The second level of samadhi refers to the simultaneous arising of both samadhi and wisdom, referring to the manifestation of wisdom.
那第三个呢，就是三摩地，有三个层次。第三个就是，是因为无漏的智慧出现之后呢，不管是在动中或者是静止中。 动也是平常生活这个静在打坐的时候，不管是在什么样的状况下，心都是自在的。
So the wisdom that manifest at this second level, there are two categories as well. One that have wisdom with outflow, and the other is wisdom without outflow. Wisdom with outflow really refers to one becoming more intelligent, smarter. Wisdom without outflow refers to the cessation of vexation. So that's when vexation, emotional afflictions, no longer arise at all. So this is the second level. The third level refers to when wisdom without outflow manifests in oneself, then in all time, in all moments, whether in motion or in stillness. Emotion refers to when one is working, going around, moving around. In stillness refers to one in sitting meditation. So both in motion and in stillness, one will be at ease.
自在呢，又有两种层次啊。我们昨天讲的，这样你用方法的时候，你的心就不会被烦恼或者是刺激和诱惑啊，困扰。在用方法的时候，你就不会被困扰，这叫自在，这叫观自在。但是，另外一个深的层次，也就是说，已经得到无漏的解脱慧，无漏的解脱智慧。从此之后，因为已经得解脱了。你在用方法也好，不在用方法也好，都是在方法上，是都是在自在的状况下，永远不会再受到任何的诱惑和刺激啊而困扰而起烦恼啊，这种人那叫真正的观自在。
Self at ease also has two levels. The first level refers to the contemplation of self at ease that I talked about yesterday, that one is at ease as long as one uses the method of contemplation of mindfulness in the present moment, that as long as one applies this method, then one will be able to one will be at ease without being bothered by what's going on in the environment, any excitement, temptations, troubles arriving in the environment. One will not be bothered at all in that moment. And so that's the contemplation of self at ease. The other level of self at ease refers to the wisdom without outflow, wisdom of liberation. What happens when wisdom without outflow manifests is that whether one is applying the method or not, one is in the method at all times. So whether one is intentionally applying the method or not, one is in the method at all times. And thus, one is at ease at all times. And so at all times, with the manifestation of wisdom without outflow, one would not be bothered by problems, agitations, temptations arising in one's environment.
我们再往下看啊，出观世音菩萨在这用方法的时候啊，就出于文中若有王所说即与即即动心而相了然不生，那这几句话呢，实际上啊，就是我们刚才呀、开始讲的是闻什么？闻的时候、听的时候啊，一定有对象。实际在听的时候，对象啊没有了。听的对象没有了，那听的对象没有了，那自己在听，自己这个主观的是我还在不在？这有的。
Now I'd like to move on to the next paragraph, the second paragraph. at first by directing the organ of hearing into the stream of meditation. Both the stream and the subject which entered became quiescent. Both movement and stillness became clearly non-existent. Here, actually, these few lines refer to the use of the method of hearing that I was talking about earlier. Then in the beginning of using the method of hearing, there inevitably will be the notion of oneself hearing the object. So there's the idea of the object of hearing out there that's heard by the self. But as one progresses in the practice, use the method of hearing, then eventually the notion of an object existing separately out there, that being the object of hearing, the sound, will disappear. There's no longer the notion that there's a sound that's being heard. And when the notion of the object of hearing, the sound, disappears, will there still be the idea that there is this this egocentric self here listening, hearing the sound? No, that self will disappear as well.
这两样东西不是对立的，空和有是同样东西，只是呢，空呢是从有的过程，了解它这个有的过程呢，都是暂时的片段的现象，并不是说过程没有。这过程是有的，但是过程之中没有一定的，没有一定的有样东西啊，叫做什么？这是个过程而已。我们听声音的时候也是一样，声音不管是什么声音，这个声音只是一个过程，声音的过程过了就是没有了，还没有发生的时候还没有，发生以后也没有了。正在发生的时候呢，它是一个过程，那个过程不能说它没有，过程是有的，过程比如说声音，我们听到的是声音的过程，声音也经过以后的那个声音是不存在的，声音还没有发生的时候声音也是没有的，但是正在听的时候这是个声音的过程，它是有的，但是有它是暂时的有，
Now I'd like to clarify the meaning of some of the common terms, some of the common Buddhist terms that you might have encountered, that of emptiness and existence. It is important to understand that the concept of emptiness and existence are not opposite to each other. They are not contradictory to each other. In fact,emptiness and existence are the same thing. They are really the two sides of the same coin. Emptiness refers to temporary existence. That all existence, they only exist temporarily because of impermanence. Since it does not exist permanently, it is only a process. Any phenomena that manifests is only a process, and so it exists but not permanently, and thus it is also emptiness. For example, if you think about sound, before the sound arises, the sound's not here. After sound dies down, it's not here either. And during the time period between the beginning and the end, the sound exists, but it is a process. One cannot say that there is a thing, an entity, an independently existing entity that's called the sound. The reason for that is because it's impermanent. So one should only understand it as a process. This existence of what we call sound is a process, and because it's impermanent, it does not have its impermanent, independent, inherent self, it is also empty.
这个观音如果听懂了，我们就可以讲下去，很容易懂。
If you can understand this idea, then you'll be able to understand what I'm about to explain to the remaining of the text.
是在听声音，这个声音这个过程呢，就好像是一个瀑布，好像是一个水流，这是声音。我们讲话的声音，这是有断断续续的。可是我们在大自然的声音，它是永远有声音。我们耳朵啊，塞起来以后，是不是也可以听到声音？怎么？声音有的是强，有的是弱。我们的耳朵听到的是什么？声音的领域里面的一部分。事实上，声音呢，在大自然里面永远有声音。这个声音呢，就像水流一样的，它是不会断的。但是呢，响过的声音已经不存在，还没有响的声音还没有开始。我们听到这是一个片段，这是暂时的，很快就过去。
If you think about, again, the phenomenon of sound, sound really is kind of like a flowing water. When we are talking human sound, there are segments of that, fragments of that. But if you go into nature, then here, in a place where there's a stream with flowing water, then your sound is continuous. Continues there, and even if you put on the earplug, you still hear the sound a little bit. And what it is that there are greater variation among different kinds of sounds. Some is a high volume, some have lower volume. And if you think about it, human ears can only hear a very narrow range of frequency of sound that exists.And what we can hear is only the sound that is manifesting now, that's happening now. We can't hear sound that manifests in the past. We can't hear the sound that manifests in the future. So if you can think about it this way, really what one can perceive with our own hearing organ, it's really one segment, one small segment of a phenomenon of sound.
这是分析的说明，这不是经验的。现在这个地方是讲的经验的，讲的自己体验的。听到自己啊，就在自己听的人没有了，被听的声音不存在了。这个时候还有什么？
This is an analytical explanation of the phenomenon of sound. But what is talked about in the sutra here has to do with the experiential aspect of what one's hearing of sound. So in one's practice of the method of hearing, one listens to a sound moment after moment.And feel the idea that there is sound out there to be heard disappears. And that idea that there's a me here listening to the sound also disappears. When in that moment, what is left?
当我们体验到我们自己的存在呢，是我们执着是有我的时候，一定是跟对象啊这个是对立的。我们觉得自己有我的存在，一定是有对象，因为有对象，所以有我。 当我们呢把对象跟自我不区分于他的时候，这自我和对象这两样东西都是不存在的。
This is when one would discover that the idea of the ego, the idea that this ego, this self exists, has to rely on the, attachment of the self to the external object. The idea of self can only exist in relation to an external object, thinking that there is me, interacting with this object that's out there.And, if one can, if put down the notion, this idea that there is this separation between oneself and the external object, then, this ego will also disappear.
有一位啊，这个中国的电影明星叫杰克利，晓得。李连杰，晓得啊，这是功夫明星。他有一次告诉我，他说他跟他的太太已经生活了10多年。他的太太呢，常常问他：“你爱不爱我？你究竟真的爱我吗？”他回答了。1000次、2000次都是我爱你，我爱你。但是呢，他的太太还是要问你究竟爱不爱，爱不爱我？他的太太没有安全感了，就觉得他的先生是不是会爱啊？他的太太要理智嘛，不管他的名字叫什么。
There's a Chinese martial arts actor, probably a lot of you are familiar with Jet Li. Jet Li one time came to me and talked to me that his wife, who's been married to for, he's been with for about 4 or 10 years, would constantly ask him, that she would ask him that, do you love me? Do you still love me? Do you really love me?And every single time, for thousands of times, Jet Li has responded to her that, I love you. I love you. Of course I love you. And, but it's still not enough. She will still, ask or want to be sure. For real, do you really love me? Do you actually love me? And what's happening is that his wife, does not have this, sense of security, does not feel secure about their relationship. So often, constantly worry that,he no longer loves her.
他最近这几年来啊，杰克利啊在学佛，这个修行啊，他也知道怎么修，也怎么知道观想，这个自我和弟弟的这个他，已经在修的时候修行的时候就感觉到是不存在的，对立是不存在的。就是告诉他太太，他说我已经没有对象，你说我自己爱不爱我？他的太太说你当然爱自己。他说我现在呢，我没有把你当成是对象呢，你看我爱不爱你啊？他的太太说这样子啊，那你就把我当成你自己了。他说当然了。他说我没有对象，你就是我，我就是你。他通常的人讲呢，是你是我的一半，我是你的一半，好像这还是分开的，就一半。他说我们两个人根本就是一个。他的太太从此以后不再太过问他，你爱不爱我了。
Jet Li has been practicing Buddhism in the last few years.What he's been using is this method of contemplation, contemplating that this subject-object relationship between the self and the external environment, the object he wants to have external environment, actually does not truly exist, does not exist, does not really exist. So so his contemplation of this illusory relationship between subject and object helped him deal with this situation at home. So he told his wife that, honey, there's really no separation between the self and the object. So really, when you ask me if I love you, it really doesn't make sense because I don't see that you as being separate outside of me. You and I are really one. And so his wife responded, so are you saying that when you think about yourself, you really think that I'm also you? And he said, yeah. Think about it. Usually when we talk about a couple, our loved one, we call them my better half, right? The other person's my better half. I'm the half, the other person's the other half. But there's still this idea of separation between this half and that half. But this is a completely different notion. This notion is that there's no separation whatsoever. The two is actually one. And upon hearing this response from Jet Li, his wife no longer asking the question, do you really love me? Even though you're not quite successful in practicing this method, all you need is not a problem. All you need to do is to remember. Sometimes you see it on TV that you and I are no different. You are me and I am you. Therefore, so do not treat the other person as an object separate and outside of oneself. As long as one does not do so, one will be able to see the two as one.
It's
very easy to understand, right?
如果能够这个样子的话呢，不管是动的或者是静的，不管是好的或者是不好的，不管这是你看到是美的或者是不美的，你的心中晓得，你心中很清楚，不好就是不好，好就是好，美就是美，不美就是不美，但是。 跟你的心里边呢，不会产生了冲突、矛盾，不会觉得自己受它影响了，而自己的情绪会波动，这个叫做什么？动静观相了然不生。If
one can do so at all time, then both emotion and stillness, whether one encounters something that is good or something that is bad, whether one encounters something that is beautiful or ugly, then one will know clearly that this is bad and this is good. One will understand clearly that this is beautiful and this is ugly. However, one's mind will not be moved by this discrimination at all. So because of that, one will not give rise to any conflict and contradictions inside one's mind. As a result, one's mind will be very stable and is not moved by this external environment at all. So here is what the meaning of this two sentences that
动静而想,
this is the meaning of this last part of the first sentence in the second paragraph. Both movement and stillness became clearly non-existent.
但是我们刚刚开始练习的时候，不可能呢一下子就练好的，要渐渐的练习，渐渐的练习以后，也会间断性的，好像跟不上力，间断性的，自己还会受到环境的困扰，还会觉得有对象，但是你不断的。 再继续的用这个方法。
Of course, one will not get to this stage right away. However, what one can do is to keep as a practice. On the path of one's practice, one will find that there will be periods time when I have real trouble using the method effectively. One will find it's really hard to practice really well. Or in some times one will find that it's difficult not to give rise to the discrimination between subject and object. It's difficult not to be bothered by what's going on in the external environment. And that's normal. All one needs to do is to keep at the practice.
但是当我们方法用得很成熟的时候，我们自然而然呢，在平常的生活之中就不会受到影响。
However, when one becomes very proficient with the method, when one becomes very familiar with the use of the method, then naturally one will not be bothered by what's going on in one's environment, in one's daily life.
也可以说，在平常任何生活的任何时间呢，都是在方法上，都是在闻。
And that
已经忘掉了在闻，但是呢，实际上是在闻。
And that is to say, one is in the method at all times, constantly, during one's daily life. So what it means is that one has forgot about having to apply the method of hearing, because one is in the method of hearing at all times.
我曾经还听到一位啊，这个骑马的骑师，他讲他的心得，他说当他在骑在马上的时候啊，他越骑越深意的时候，他自己已经忘掉了马，马呢好像也忘掉了他。这个时候马是跑得最快的，而他自己的状况是最好的。他没有再考虑到自己是不是会输掉，或者是会跑第一，他没有考虑这个问题。因为这个时候他已经忘掉了马，马也忘掉了他，他也忘掉了是不是输或者是赢。但是呢结果他是跑第一，原因是什么？因为他是已经日理万手。
One time I talked to a horse jockey, and he told me that when he was riding the horse in a race, and when things were going very well, when the horse was racing very well, then in that moment that he actually would forget that the horse was there, and the horse would also forget that he's riding it. And in that moment, he would be in his peak state mentally, meaning that he would no longer be concerned about winning or losing whatsoever. Not worried about, well, am I going to lose? Am I going to win? And because in that day, the horse forgets that there is a rider. The rider forgets about a horse. Right, also forget about whether stop worrying about winning or losing, and that's when the racing is best. And when the horse is able to race in a very high speed, and when that happens, he wins in the race, and that's because there's no worrying about winning or losing anymore. Any horse jockey in the audience here?
骑马的经验一定有，但是骑成那个样子大概不用。
Then one may have some experience riding horses, but being able to get to that state is not that easy.
所以我们用这个方法，用我们的方法，我们可以试的。你用时间越久，你就成熟。那么最后你自然而然呢，就好像那个骑马的人呢，他没有想到输或者是赢是不是能够跑第一，结果他是跑第一。
So the same thing applies to one's practice. one's process of practice. In the beginning, it's important to apply method practice, keep as the practice, be persistent in the practice. And eventually, as time goes by, one will become very familiar with the method, become very proficient with the use of the method. And then one will be like this horse jockey, will not be when he's no longer worried about winning or losing, and that's when he wins.
今天早上我们有禅修的课，对不对？所以，平常生活之中就能够做到了，这么好，有可能吗？有可能，有可能啊。一种呢，就是顿悟，比如说你现在听到我的方法，你马上就能够体会到了，然后你不断的就是这样子。用了，这叫正悟。一种就是见悟，那就是要练习打坐，从打坐练习把心能够安定下来，然后不断的练方法，练到能够啊，是自己，就是自己个人和我们的环境，或者自己的身体和我们的心能够合而为一。到了这个程度的时候，还没有啊，还没有真正的开悟。那下边呢，就要讲怎么开悟了。
Is it possible to get to this stage in one's daily life? Yes.Definitely, it is possible to get to this stage of practice in one's daily life. Some of you have attended this morning's beginner meditation class, so you understand, you have a little understanding of the method of practice there. And there are actually two possible ways that one can get to this stage in one's daily life. First is what we call sudden enlightenment.Sudden enlightenment refers to when one, upon hearing the teaching, one can experience certain realization in that moment right away and continue to apply that realization in one's daily life. That's sudden enlightenment. The other, if one's unable to do so, then one can embark on the path of gradual enlightenment. The path of gradual enlightenment involves the practice of sitting meditation. If one practices sitting meditation, more and more one will be able to, become unified with the environment, experiencing that there is less and less separation between oneself and the environment until one experiences this unification.Between the self and the surrounding environment. However, this unification is not yet enlightenment. So in the following, I'd like to explain what true enlightenment is.
那什么叫做开悟啊？开悟是一种，是一种态度啊，是。对自我中心的破除自我中心，但是呢一切的现象一切的事情都是有的，就是自我中心的执着没有。那么自我中心究竟是什么？自我中心的意思啊，是让自己困扰，让自己烦恼，让自己很不舒服，这叫自我中心。凡是让自己不舒服困扰的，这就是自我中心。当自我中心失去的时候，那我们自己经常是活在啊，我们的自在。自在的意思就是没有烦恼，没有困扰，在任何状况下不会困扰。那虽然 我们生活还在同样的环境之中，但是当开了悟的人呢，因为没有自己自我中心，所以不会困扰，而且还能够帮助人家，叫人家不要困扰。
So what is the true enlightenment? True enlightenment is actually an attitude. It is an attitude where one is free of attachment to one's self-centeredness. So enlightenment is the attitude that is free of attachment to one's self-centeredness. So when one experiences enlightenment, everything is still the same, except that one is no longer attached to one's self-centeredness. Self-centeredness refers to people giving rise to agony, suffering, discomfort, agitation in one's mind. So whenever one does so, that is the attachment to one's self-centeredness. And if one's able to put down one's attachment to self-centeredness, that's when one does not give rise to any vexations to one's mind anymore. Then that's the moment when one experiences experiences enlightenment in the moment, meaning that one is completely at ease in that moment without any vexation arising whatsoever. And if one's able to be free of vexation in one's mind at all times, then one is experiencing enlightenment.
大家还有兴趣开悟吗？开了悟以后见到无师，无师以后见到圆满，大家很有兴趣，我相信啊。我刚才讲过了，开悟一种是顿悟，一种是见悟啊。顿悟呢，就是听到我讲的某一个观念或者某一个方法，你马上呢，你自我中心，你从自我中心之中释放了，那叫解脱了啊。另外一种呢，渐修，要一步一步的修行，用禅定的修行方法，一步一步的修，修到后来要可能开悟。
Not only does a person who has attained enlightenment will be at ease with oneself, this person will also be able to help other people eliminate their vexations, and so that other people will be at ease as well. A lot of people, when they hear about a method towards enlightenment, once are very interested, when listening with keen interest, because if one's enlightened, one will be able to attain selflessness and also fulfillment. And so one would really like to find out how to get there. And as mentioned earlier, I have mentioned two kinds of enlightenment, two paths for enlightenment, really. One is sudden enlightenment that happens when one experiences realization upon hearing my teaching. The other is that of gradual enlightenment, referring to gradual practice, embarking on the path of practice, using the method of practice continuously and diligently. And one will also get to enlightenment using that path.
那我们在这边呢，观世音菩萨修成功，也就是开悟以后，他是跟一切的佛的慈悲完全相同的，同时所有一切的众生是痛苦，他都知道。
And here in the sutra, in the text here, it's mentioned that upon the accomplishment of practice towards enlightenment, Bodhisattva Avalokiteshvara was able to understand the compassion encompassed by all the Buddha's intentions. He was also able to empathize with all the suffering of all sentient beings in 10 directions.
因此呢，在当时的观音的就是观音古佛啊，给了他一个方法，叫做如幻三昧，又叫做金刚三昧。如幻三昧又叫金刚三昧，如幻好像是幻的，是这样吗？没有翻译出来哈，如幻三，如幻好像是虚假的。没有，不是没有，好像是假的，是幻的。幻是什么意思？幻是虚假的。
So therefore, upon encountering the Buddha Avalokiteshvara, this Buddha gave the instruction to Bodhisattva Avalokiteshvara. He's giving him the teaching of samadhi, of seemingly illusory, or it can also be called the Vajra Samadhi.
金刚三昧的意思，修成以后呢，他的慈悲心不会再改变，他的智慧不会再失去，慈悲心不会再改变。
When one accomplished in the cultivation of Vajra Samadhi, then one's compassion will not disappear, will not change anymore. One's wisdom will also never disappear.
如幻三昧呢，虽然知道一切众生也都是没有自信的，每一个众生这是一个现象，但是众生痛苦还是真的，所以还是晓得众生呢不是真实的不骗的众生，但是众生的痛苦的过程现象还是有，所以自己要做众生。
And the samadhi, the cultivation of samadhi, seemingly illusory, refers to the idea that the Bodhisattva understands clearly that even though the sentient beings in the world, they are all temporarily existing sentient beings, meaning that they don't have an independently existing permanent self.But their suffering, the phenomenon of the suffering, is real. The phenomenon of suffering, is still, there. And because of this understanding that the Bodhisattva evolved, the embark on the delivery of our sentient beings from suffering.
因此呢，他需要用众生需要的身份来适应众生，来度众生。就是任何一个对象需要他是用什么样的一个身份呢去帮助他的话，他就显现以什么身份去。
Therefore, the Bodhisattva adapts to the needs of there are many different kinds of sentient beings. Depending on the needs, the Bodhisattva will adopt the role or the position that's appropriate and necessary for helping his sentient beings.
我曾经呢有遇到一位啊，这个佛教徒啊，修佛的人啊。他修佛了多少年了，有一天呢，他带着他的父母，带着他的太太，带着他的孩子来见我。我说到见我的时候，我就想，我说哎呀，你们一家人真是啊很幸福啊。我说爸，你对父母、对孩子、对太太，你怎么照顾他们呢？那他告诉我，他说我父母有拐杖， 我是我的孩子的玩偶，我是我太太的工人。对他的父母来讲，就是他的父母不是当拐杖用的，要他什么就是什么。对他孩子来讲的话，孩子把他当成什么玩具在玩的，那他自己就是孩子的玩具。对太太来讲的话，太太要他做这个做那个，他就是听太太的话，所以他自己是自己是不存在的。这个是为父母活，为儿子儿小孩子活，为他的太太活。这个是什么？
这就是观音菩萨，
这是我的，这是为了我。你们可以学习，如果是太太，是不是也可以学习怎么样？你们进了以后，太太没结婚关系。
Recently, I met a lay practitioner. He came to see me with his wife and his children. And when I met them, I said to him that you have a very happy family. You're very fortunate. And I asked him that how do you take care of your how do you take care of your parents, your wife and your children? So he responded to me this way.He said that I'm the cane that my parents used for walking around. And I'm my children's toy. And I'm my wife's servant. What it means is that he served as his parents' cane for them to rely on. And he spent fun playing with his children, so he's really like his children's toy.And with his wife would tell him, do this, do that, get your cash out. And also he's like his wife's servant. So with this attitude, really he does not have the idea of himself. He sees his role as a serving his parents, his children, his wife in whatever capacity necessary, playing his role in the situation.That's called for in that particular situation. So this is the attitude of no self, which I believe you can also learn from as well. So I'm talking about an example of a husband. You think wife can also do the same?
我是什么人的什么，我不是为我，这是为了其他的人，那这就是观音菩萨，这就是修的观音法门，这就是无私，就能够什么，就能圆满。你只要无私，在你家里面无私，你的家庭是圆满的，你在团体里无私，你这个团体是圆满的。
Everybody can apply this method of practice in one's daily life. With whoever I'm interacting with, I have a role that I have to play in relation to that person. Then I make sure I play that role to my fullest ability. When I interact with a different person, then I have a different role to play in that situation. And I do my best in that situation, playing that role as well.And so doing so, one is really practicing the method of Bodhisattva Avalokiteshvara. If one practices this selflessness in one's family, then one's family life will be fulfilled. If one practices selflessness in one's surrounding community, then one's community will be fulfilled.
我们今天讲完了，可以允许有两个人发问。
So my lecture today will end here, but I have time for two questions.
Well, I think I answered my question already, but I'll ask you anyway. It's about one of your teachers, the teacher you had before you went to your solitary retreat. Everything you did, he thought it was wrong, and he can you tell he was still compassionate and he really helped you? Like, how was that and like, why did he do that?
师父他说啊，他可能已经啊解答自己的问题，可是他还是希望问一下，就是师父去啊山上面啊闭关修行六年之前，师父跟着师父是啊东初老人，他的师父的师父东初老人啊，在师父的书里面有提到东初啊老人他对师父是就是很苛刻的，就是啊常常告诉师父说师父这样子做的不对，那样子做的不对啊。他问题的是怎么这样怎么是算可以算是啊慈悲呢啊？
那对象，我这个人，我的师父对我就是慈悲。如果不是我这样子的人，用我师父的这种方式，那可能这个土地会垮掉。这个司机就不想修行了。
It does, it depends on the person that you are dealing with, for, Master Shen Yan's master. Because he was dealing with Master Shen Yan at that time, and it is the appropriate, approach for, his master to treat him that way. If, his master treated, other disciples in the same way, then, because, the person's different personality and need,then he might have given up on the practice and left.
对，就是呢，要听声音，听什么声音？这个要听他的心声，听我的心声。像我这样的人，对我的师父来讲，他很清楚，他要我怎么样，帮我怎么样帮助我。
Therefore, it is necessary to listen very closely to the sound in other people's mind. Because, my master was able to hear, understand very clearly what my need is, because he was able to listen to, closely to my sounds in my mind, that, he knew clearly what my needs were.
Thank you.
So frequently, in our world today, we are hearing sounds from beings who are not precisely sentient. I'm talking about the media. And, we so often are influenced by the media, television, radio, and, the internet if you have an audio. And so I wonder, what if you advise the same things when you're not in dialogue with the other being?I wonder what you advise in terms of your listening and your hearing when you are not in dialogue with the other being, in this case, the media that surrounds you.
师父他的问题是说，刚才师父他所讲的那个闻的，用耳朵闻的方法，就是有些时候我们所闻的声音不是其他的众生的声音。尤其是现在我们的世界里面常常闻到的声音是媒体来的声音，电视机啊、收音机啊，或是网络上面的不同的信发出来的不同信息的声音。那是问题就是希望师父可不可以给我们一些开示，是当我们所听所闻的声音不是其他的众生其他众生的声音，就是因为我们不是在跟他们对话，而是其他不是有形众生的声音，就是从媒体或者对是从媒体的声音的时候，应该怎么做？就是电视机啊，对那个其他的声音，对媒体的声音，尤其是电视机啊的信息啊，收音机的信息啊。
媒体的声音是吧？媒体的声音呢，作为做参考，不要把这个当成真的。参考不要当成真的。
With regard to the sounds you hear from the various media, well, you can use it as a point of reference, but there's no need to treat them all as truth.
这是很困扰了。
Otherwise, you'll cause yourself a lot of trouble.
Please rise.
下面有一个小型的会议的仪式，是在这个会客室里面了。已经登记的人可以去，没有登记的人如果想要去的时候，可以赶快报名。就是这个，那。
And the following, I will be conducting a very brief ceremony of taking refuge. So for those of you who have applied for taking refuge with me, please go to the room, gardener room, back there. And if you haven't applied, and if you, you would like to take refuge with me, participate in the ceremony, you can also come and apply right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming. I hope you have enjoyed and learned like we have from Master Zhen Yan. We're so glad that we finally have this event. Really have to appreciate all the co-sponsors for their persistence to make this event possible, because Master Zhen Yan has not been accepting lectures like this for 10 years. So it was a great privilege to have him here, and we are very happy to make this lecture free to you all, to the public. And of course, donations are always welcome. And also, across the hall in another room, there are free literature, both in English and Chinese, for you to enjoy, to learn more. And if you want any periodic from Master Zhen Yan, there is also a register form over there for you to sign up to receive future literature from them. Okay? Thank you very much. Enjoy your day.